An ancient story, part of the story of Jesus from Luke's community. You were warned that this was coming last week. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, What then shall we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. Well, our tradition puts us in a strange predicament this morning. While the darkness grows deeper in our hemisphere as the season of Advent indeed does deepen, and while the prophet John exclaims, "You brood of vipers," we are asked to light the Advent candle of joy. How does that work? Now, joy makes sense if I'm excitedly and confidently drawing near to the light and the delights of Christmas Day. And as a kid, that was certainly the case, waiting for special once-a-year smells, songs, presents, and treats to eat. But our story brings us not to such delights, but to John the Baptizer. What do we do with John on this Advent Sunday of joy? Ah, John. Wild man in the wilderness. Rough clothing, rough diet, rough speech. "You brood of vipers, the wrath that is to come, unquenchable fire." Maybe John is like that crazy uncle on Thanksgiving that you have to invite because he's family. You might have one of those. Disruptive to domestic peace and pleasant conversation. But there he is, right in the middle of our story. What can John say to us today? What could John possibly say to us about joy as we journey toward the manger? Well, the history of Advent might help us to get started on this riddle. So as early as the 5th century, Christians prepared for Christmas with a 40-day fast. I assume you're all doing the same. Advent was a season of penitence, self-examination, and repentance. And now in the earliest years of the church, of course, the only church season was Lent. It took a few centuries for the Mass of the Christ birth to find its place. And in this early Lent, of course, it was a season of fasting and prayer, and the traditional color was this deep purple that you see around here. It signified repentance and suffering. Lent was a solemn season due to the impending crucifixion of Jesus. Yet there was always a twinge of hope and joy in the Easter story, always lingering around there. And so on the third Sunday of Lent, the Christians broke their fast and had a feast to signify this hope and joy, even amidst the sadness. And pink became the symbol of this day. Priests began to wear pink vestments as a reminder of the coming joy of the resurrection. I have my pink vestment under my robe here. So this third Advent candle, colored pink, was selected to be a reminder of this ancient practice, this ancient spirit of Lent. And Advent is, if you haven't noticed, a kind of mini Lent. If there is any war on Christmas, as some say, I would say it is a subtle but significant initiative to limit and alter the holy day, to focus on family nostalgia and domestic pleasantries, to cultural quirks and consumer crescendos. But this focus drains the gravitas out of the story. Those cultural expressions are fine as far as they go, but they won't go far enough. They won't go far enough to get us to a meaningful or vital or resilient faith. Indeed, the true meaning and power of Christmas is difficult to access with this limited focus. Also, from the place of guaranteed comfort and privilege, it's difficult to access. And so is true joy. It also is difficult to access from comfort and privilege and from naive notions of joy and desires for pleasantness. Paula Cooey, professor of religion at Trinity University in San Antonio, says, "Joy is more complex than most theories of feeling allow. For example, for ethically mature adults, if not for everyone, joy cannot be experienced innocently. It is experienced instead against the backdrop of the knowledge of the suffering and violence that characterize much of human life. Thus, while one can imagine what it might mean to experience sustained pain in the absence of joy, it is almost impossible to imagine experiencing joy while ignorant of the coexistence of suffering. Tragedy and joy coexist." This is where the prophets come in. Hebrew Bible scholar Walter Brueggemann reminds us that the prophetic imagination is about an alternative consciousness, an alternative narrative to the one of the empire, whether that empire be Roman, British, Russian, or American. That story is about the freedom of God, the inbreaking innovation, the new birth and life lived anew. The prophetic imagination is about a faith in the new life that is needed to overcome forces of death, the forces that are draining life. And for John, the new life is about dying to the old ways that do not serve life and being born into a new one. Baptism is that passage, and metanoia, that turning around of our lives. That's the purpose of baptism for John. We see this in John's response to those who said, "What must we do?" He tells them to live differently, honestly, in good and just relationship to others. Father Richard Rohr calls this baptismal way a spirituality of descent. And that kind of descent cannot occur if our joy is facile and naive. Merely pleasantry or happiness in moments of good fortune or insulated comfort, merely Whoville with all the stuff. like labor pains of birth and the descent and death of going under the water in baptism, the prophet knows that hard truth has to come. The forces of death, our unjust and life-draining ways, must be seen and named in order for them to change. A prophet as eloquent as Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King spoke of the fierce urgency of now. Indeed, there are moments of fierceness and urgency. There are times when it is time to face a difficult reality in ourselves, in our nation, or in our world. The prophet names and confronts the hard truths that need God's transformation. Such a moment came at the Standing Rock Reservation in 2016. Standing Rock is where bands of the Lakota and Dakota peoples live. After quietly rejecting an oil pipeline proposal that would have sent the pipeline under the Missouri River, but upstream of the mostly white city of Bismarck, the Dakota Access Pipeline was approved to go further south, crossing the waters instead upstream of the Standing Rock Reservation. Apparently too risky for the white people, but not for the native peoples. Well, in 2016, it was youth of these nations who began a nonviolent effort to stop the construction of the pipeline, even using their bodies as necessary. And not unlike John the Baptizer, they proclaimed the fierce urgency of now. And like John, organized a prayer meeting around the waters. My wife and I went there at the end of October in 2016 to help in any way we could. We prayed. We trained in nonviolent resistance and how to treat yourself when you're tear gassed. We bore witness to the courage of those standing up to the empire and supported them as best we could. I had never been to a war zone, but it was. This time of being present in the camp and on the front lines showed me the incredible and heartbreaking truth, the hard truth, of the funding, weaponry, equipment, and intimidation that the system of empire can bring to bear on those who attempt to interfere with its purpose. A joy based on Christmas decorations and carols on the radio is not enough to meet that. It's not strong enough to meet that hard truth. It's not strong enough to meet the hard truth, the complex reality of life, or the power of empire. Enter the prophets. The prophets like John. Such hard truth prophets like John the Baptizer, Malcolm X, Angela Davis, and Dolores Huerta, you may have your list, are not always received well. They are not interested in the pleasantness of the situation. But these prophets are necessary in our Advent story. They are necessary for the coming of the new birth. And yet, despite some appearances at least, these hard truth prophets are not without joy. Their joy is of knowing, feeling, and acting for the alternative vision of God, the alternative narrative. Even in the face of empire, even in the growing darkness, they let that deep and complex joy, what theologian Cornel West would call subversive joy, fuel their service and their lives. The result is the sweet fruit of living differently. Bear fruit worthy of repentance, John the Baptizer said. So, let me be clear. lest I become the Grinch. At my house, we will be decorating a Christmas tree and gathering family. We will listen to the soundtrack of Charlie Brown Christmas and watch some annual holiday Christmas movies, one of which I'm sure will involve Whoville. And I will be baking a cherished family cookie recipe. I am not against these things. I enjoy these things, and I hope you do too, in your own way. I am simply reminding all of us that these things are not the Christmas story of our faith. The journey to the manger includes the wild prophets of the wilderness, calling us out to the river to be immersed in hard truths and then rise anew into lives bearing the sweet fruit of God's inbreaking realm. Even amidst a growing darkness, there is a pink candle of joy. A pink candle of joy for us to light, to look at, and to help us wait upon a new birth of life. Amen.